Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Now inching ever closer to the first weekend of this, well, first weekend following the first full work week of this new year. And to me, that's always valuable. It's also a massive football weekend and will get you set for what's to come in both the college ranks and the pros through the second half of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Did you know that Adam Schefter never sleeps? I just saw it pop up, maybe an update, if you will, on his report that the Bears were denied permission to speak with Mike McCarthy. What does that mean? Well, we know that Mike McCarthy's only under contract with the Dallas Cowboys for, what is it, a couple more days into next week. But the Bears wanted to be able to speak with him as they get a jump on their head coaching search. And so they asked, while he's under contract, can we talk to him? What does it say that Jerry Jones and his family denied that request? Maybe it means they're in conversations to give Mike McCarthy a contract extension, or maybe it's because they don't want to help out an opponent in any way, so it wouldn't matter who it was. There's probably a bunch of different ways you could explain it, but I continue to believe that it won't be surprising at all if and when the Cowboys keep Mike McCarthy, because to me, more and more, it's leaning that direction. The Bears are interviewing Pete Carroll. That we know. That interview comes up on Thursday. Carroll reached out to them. He's expressed interest in the job. He does want to be a coach again in 2025. We also know that the Bears will interview Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady and former Titans coach Mike Vrabel, as well as their own interim coach Thomas Brown, plus Ben Johnson and Brian Flores. So Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator behind that Lions terrific season. And remember, last year he was a hot candidate as well, but chose to stay where he was. And then Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores. So those are some of the names on the Bears list. Ryan Poles has talked about how some of the names will surprise us as we find out, because he said they're going to dig real deep. Pete's worried they're going to strike a water main and doesn't want them to dig too deep, doesn't want them to dig for oil, if you will.
They might have already.
But they have indicated that they want to cast a wider net than what they did when they hired Matt Eberflus. As for Brian Flores, he's obviously in the middle of preparing for Monday night's wildcard game between the Rams and the Vikings. And that offense with Matthew Stafford at the helm, I mean, he's a Super Bowl winner. Brian Flores and the D will have its hands full, but he, of course, is taking interviews.
For me, it's the players that are number one, and you know, I'm always going to work and do things with you know, their interests first. It's certainly an honor, but I'll be my number one priority is, you know, getting this team ready or getting this defense ready to play against the Rams.
It's interesting, some of the conversation around John Gruden, because of the way that he was unceremoniously ushered out. Now, he did resign himself from the Raiders, but because of the emails that were released, the damning emails with the language and some of the terminology, the offensive words that he used, the NFL, some people believe, hung him out to dry. They needed a sacrificial lamb in the case of Daniel Snyder, and someone from inside that NFL office leaked these emails that were so damning to John Gruden and his reputation. But the NFL is a league of second and third and fourth chances. We see that not just with coaches and with personnel, but also with players. And when Peter King talks about the fact that John Gruden is a name that a lot of teams are considering, I think Okay, so John Gruden is a guy that people will look at now that enough time has passed. I kind of feel like Brian Flores is in the same boat. Now, I'm not saying Brian Flores did anything wrong. I'm not comparing him to Gruden, only that he sued the NFL and he sued some owners. He sued a couple of different teams. So if enough time has passed, remember, it was Mike Tomlin that gave him a job right away when Flores was shut out in the coaching cycle. It was 2 years ago that he sued the NFL, two off seasons ago that he sued the NFL. He was shut out. Maybe it was three. It might have been three because Mike Tomlin gave him a job right away, remember, as a special assistant. And then he ended up in Minnesota where he's been, I think, for the last two seasons. So if enough time has passed that John Gruden can be considered as a head coaching candidate again, he really wants to get back in the league. And Brian Flores, he's interested in becoming a head coach again. He was out of Bill Belichick's system and went to Miami when they were trying to rebuild. And it sounds like Miami was more interested in, well, we know that they were stockpiling draft picks with all of their trades of veteran players, but were more interested in losing and getting the number one pick than they were in Brian Flores being successful as a head coach. And yeah, none of these owners like being outed. They don't like their business being put out there publicly. But I like the fact that both Gruden and Flores are being mentioned. And again, Peter King, he's going so far as to say that Gruden is a candidate.
The dark horse guy, I believe, in the coaching derby, who I think you're going to hear a little bit about in the next week or so, is John Gruden. And I don't know that he's going to get a job, but I do think there's a couple of teams out there that right now are doing their homework on John Gruden.
That's from Let's Go, along with Jim Gray on Sirius XM NFL Radio. So Mike Vrabel, hot candidate, former NFL coaching experience or head coaching experience. Mike McCarthy, though the Cowboys have exclusive negotiating rights with him through January 14th, his contract is up in hours. John Gruden, Brian Flores, these are all former head coaches. It seems like, along with a Ben Johnson, who is, again, going to be a hot candidate, and a Joe Brady, too, who's interviewed in the past for jobs, that more of your candidates are coming from the experience side than not. And if you think about the two that have, two of the ones that have just been fired, Gerard Mayo and Antonio Pierce, they had no experience as head coaches, maybe were thrust into the positions too quickly. I mean, there are others too, right? Mike McDonald in Seattle, they didn't make the playoffs, but they won 10 games in his first season. Mike McDaniel, it's just been a tough situation with Tua since he got there. But they've shown great potential, too. Last year when Tua was healthy, that offense was the most prolific in the NFL. Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen, it appears that both of them, I didn't think Gannon was going to get fired, but Shane Steichen, I wondered, with the Colts. But it appears as though those two guys who came from coordinator positions are both going to survive. Matt Eberflus did not. Robert Saleh did not. Dennis Allen, who was a former head coach, he did not either. That's kind of a mixed bag always. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. About a half hour left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. You can do that on our Facebook page or on our show Twix. And I know Pete has been checking out the questions at Amy After Hours. Let's go back to the phones. Bill is listening in Ohio. Bill, what do you think about Brady and a conflict of interest?
Well, I'm not a Brady fan. I'm a Steeler fan, so he's inflicted enough pain in my life. But he does an excellent job of commentating. Peter King, is that who's with you? I think he's jealous or something, brother. I mean, he's making a mountain out of a molehill. So
Peter King was on tape. Marco Belletti was here in studio.
Oh, okay. Well, whoever was, you know, like, oh, they got to do something. They got to do something. If something comes up, I'm sure the owners will address it. But everybody should just take a chill pill and just enjoy him. He's it's like listening to Bill Belichick or the Manning brothers or whatever. I mean, he knows his stuff.
He does.
You know, he doesn't have a monopoly. You know, and thanks for informing that other guy about Fox, you know, doing the NFC. I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Doesn't he realize Fox is the NFC channel? So,
well, I don't think that's common knowledge. Maybe a bunch of us know that, but you'd really have to be paying attention. I would say the vast majority of fans don't know that. My family probably wouldn't know that. But he played in both the AFC and the NFC.
It's just
if Brady had no preparation whatsoever, but still sat down in the booth on Sundays, he could provide insight. So I don't know that he needs to go to practice or needs to talk to these players and coaches ahead of time. It's just that it's different than every other analyst and the access that they have. But I think Brady could just sit down and talk and we would all learn something.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have to ask the players all them stupid questions that they don't like to be asked in the first place. So
well,
that
no
way
doubt.
He can stay friends with them.
Well, it's different, though. Think about it from the mind of a current quarterback. Let's say you're Caleb Williams. Let's say you are Jordan Love. Let's say you're Jaden Daniels. And you have the chance to talk to Tom Brady in a pre-production meeting before a broadcast. Those young quarterbacks are eating that up because they probably not met him.
Sure.
Or if they have, it was at some kind of a symposium or, you know, like in the case of guys who have maybe have a couple experience, they played against him and met him at midfield. But the young quarterbacks in the league, no doubt, want to talk to him.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, for sure. They will probably want to get his autograph.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's allowed, actually.
Long-time listener, I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Bill.
I drive truck at night. And,
awesome.
I appreciate what you do. Keep us all awake.
Be safe, Bill. Take care of yourself when you're on the roads. Happy New Year to you. Believe it or not, I'm sure you believe it. When we were driving, even over the holidays, so the weekend before Christmas and the weekend after New Year's, the roads, the highways, the interstates, all trucks. I kept saying to my husband, if only truck drivers listened to me, my show would still have huge numbers because there are so many truck drivers on the roads. And obviously that is, it's funny. It's kind of that funny line about, oh, you do a show for truckers, which A, they need radio too. And B, now there are armies of them on the road because of, Amazon Prime and all these companies that deliver and promise delivery overnight or deliver for free. So that all the online, I heard it was $2.82 trillion spent globally with online purchases around the holidays, which is incredible. And then you think about the returns that have to be made too. So there are plenty of truckers out there, but that's not our entire audience. We've got late night on the West Coast when we start. We've got early morning for those of you waking up now, Eastern time zone or Central time zone. We've got nurses. We've got other people that work overnight, law enforcement, first responders. And we are always happy to keep you company. Some of you just have insomnia. Some of you are students. Some of you prefer to be awake at night. I'm a night owl, so it wouldn't matter if I was working this show or not. I don't know that I'd stay up until 8 a.m. or, oh my gosh, yesterday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time, because the grocery shopping and the traffic, it took a little longer. Oh my gosh, and it took me 15 minutes to get ready to walk the dogs in the cold just because of the layers you have to put on when the wind chills are in the single digits. And then neither one of them wanted to be outside. Flower's still afraid of trash cans. It was trash day on Tuesday, and the dog is deathly afraid of trash cans after her experience in Houston. Pete, I'm not kidding. She's cowering. She's like pulling away and slinking on the ground when we get near a trash can. Poor dog. I don't know how to break her of that. What do I like make her sniff a trash can? I'm not sure what to do. It has to be a positive interaction with a trash can before she's going to get over it.
I just think repetition maybe might be the elixir.
Just walk around. We'll take a trash can with us when we go on a walk. Let's get to Tom, who's in Phoenix. Tom, welcome to After Hours.
Oh, hi, Amy. First of all, I wonder whether Marco Belletti was ever an auctioneer.
He does have that kind of a voice, doesn't he?
Well, he has that kind of speed with him, I think.
Yeah,
I wonder
whether he's
on PEDs. I don't know. Do they have any rules about announcers taking them?
No, but I feel like drug tests are probably in our contracts, and yet I've never actually had one.
No chance Marco's on them.
Yeah, Marco, poor guy, he never sleeps, which might be part of the issue.
No, but anyway, Well, I wanted to discuss these three topics about the NFL bye weeks and the overtime and the draft. But first, I wanted to congratulate you, however belatedly, but I guess that's how I roll. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. You too, sir.
So I wanted to congratulate you on your wedding.
Thank you.
Although, and also congratulate you somewhat belatedly on, less belatedly on your anniversary.
I appreciate it.
Sometimes you don't know whether to give congratulations or condolences on a wedding.
Uh-oh.
I think the great comedian Fred Allen once said that marriage is an institution for the blind.
Oh, and that's really sad. Not for me. I waited a long time, and I'm thrilled.
Well, Winston Churchill once said, a second marriage is the triumph of hope over experience. But I wish you all the best, though.
Thank you, sir.
If I may, before I get to my question, I was just curious about something, I guess. But since this is Ask Amy Anything night, and because I'm not good at all these newfangled things like email and text messaging, I thought it might be okay to ask that it is common knowledge that women generally undergo certain significant changes.
Okay, nope, we're not talking about any of that. I am so sad that you did not get to your sports questions before talking about something to do with women and their ages and when they get married. And my goodness, Tom, you could have talked and asked me all of your questions, but I just, yeah, that's not a topic, A, that I would talk about with strangers, and B, that I would talk about on my radio show.
How long do you think he was going to be on? 40 minutes?
Yeah, if he was allowed to continue with all of, he didn't even get to his football questions. But also, like, I didn't hear his whole question before we dumped it. It felt like it was a little bit too personal, not to mention a little bit too TMI. But also, like, did he really think we were going to talk about that?
Oh my
gosh. Wow. Okay. Well, sorry, Tom. I hope that you enjoy the rest of the show. Maybe next time, just get right to the football. If Pete allows you on the next time.
I don't know.
I'd be willing to try again. The secret weapon is the dump button, right? So if he says something that's inappropriate, the dump button.
If he got rid of that whole preamble, then maybe he'd be okay.
No preambling. No rambling or preambling. Just get right to your question.
I want to get to this. I want to get to that. I want to do this. I want to go there. I want to say this. Just say your sports point.
All right. Thank you. Next time, Tom, just call and we'll talk about the NFL. It'll be terrific.
Yes.
Otherwise, you might want to come up with a newfangled email address and then you can send us an email instead or a text message at ALOL Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. A few minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I don't actually know what his question was going to be, but I was not comfortable with it even as he was setting it up. Although I kind of feel like you could see that, like a semi-truck barreling down a mountain with no Jake brakes. Just, it was coming in hot.
Barely had a car with anything.
It's a car on fire. This is what happens. Some days we get callers, and some days it's more bang for the buck. You've got mere moments left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. A few of you are reacting to our last caller. One guy wanted to know if we thought that he was still talking, just didn't realize that we'd hung up on him and it was still talking.
Yes, he probably is.
That does happen sometimes. Behind the scenes, we'll have a caller who just won't take a breath or won't let me answer or respond. And so I'll try to jump in and he or she will keep talking. Usually he's, and the producer behind the double pane glass where Pete is will bring down the audio, meaning like take it off the air. It's a lever in there that you pot down, you silent, and you mute the caller, and you can hear him still like behind the scenes in queue. And so a lot of times they just keep going. They have no idea that they're not still on the air, which is sort of funny. And you bring it back up and they're still talking and they haven't missed a beat or breath. Let's not do that. Let's not do that at all. So 855-212-4227. Love to talk about the playoffs. Love to talk about the coaching situation, NFL, college football too. Really excited to have the two semifinals that take place on Thursday and Friday. And don't make any mistake about it. The college playoff games were planned to run on days when there were no NFL postseason games. Jane is in Atlanta. Jane, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, it's nice to talk to you.
You too.
I had a question for you about the Lions and the Vikings game.
Mm-hmm.
My son asked me at the first of the season to pick two teams that I liked.
Okay.
And I like long hair. So I picked Lions and Vikings because of Anzalone and Hawkinson.
Nice.
And I never had any idea that they would play each other.
That's awesome.
I didn't know who to go with. But I got really upset during the game. I liked Anzalone because I love the way he tackles so viciously.
Yes.
And that was one of the reasons I picked him. But all of a sudden, he wasn't tackling Anzalone. He was just kind of flying by him like he was on a wire and just knocking into him, making him drop the ball. And I thought, why is he doing that? Why isn't he tackling him like he usually tackles people? Did they used to be on the same team?
They were, right, Van Ginkle and Hawkinson. So Hawkinson was drafted by the Lions. Right, so
no, it wasn't Van Ginkle.
My fault. Right, so that's why I was thinking about it. I just said to producer Pete, doesn't Andrew Van Ginkle have long hair too? My fault. So yes, Anzalone and Hawkinson. Yes, but I don't know that that would mean he doesn't tackle him, or maybe just missed. And you pointed it out, Jane. Yeah, so you've got multiple long hair submissions there for Lions and Vikings.
Yeah, my roommate, which is my ex-husband, yay, and my son live here, and they said, we're so tired of hearing you liking these players because of their long hair. I said, sorry about that, but he look like he was floating on a wire to you, kind of just appearing there all of a sudden every time he got the ball?
I mean, it was one of those games where you had guys that were going at breakneck speed, and it was good to have the energy, the jolt of energy that was Alex Anzalone coming back early from his injury. I thought he made a major impact on the game. And if you're just looking at numbers and stats, the much improved Detroit defense by having him back on the field too, he's very aggressive, as is Van Ginkle actually. So they're both aggressive and have long hair are big reasons why their teams have been successful this year.
I just didn't see him tackle Hawkinson. I just saw him kind of float by him.
That's funny.
And I was going for Vikings after he kept doing that, and of course they lost.
They did. But it was only a 4-point game at halftime, right? So it was definitely competitive until just the Vikings couldn't take advantage of their trips inside the red zone.
I know. It was a crazy game.
I
thought, why did you make me do this, Noah? They play each other, now I got a pick, and now my team didn't win.
Well, they play each other twice a year, actually. I'm sure you know this, Jane, but if the Vikings beat the Rams on Monday night, they go right back to Detroit.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. I'll wait for that then. Maybe I can get my... And Anzalone, another thing. Why does he come on there and say father of two instead of his college?
I don't know, because he wants to be different. Don't you ever? I like being different.
We all have kids, I think. Well, I don't know if you do, but most of us do. He just seems snotty after that.
Oh, gosh. Jane, you're so judgmental. Judgmental, Jane.
Sorry.
Nah, it's fine.
Oh, well, don't hang up on me. I'm not the guy. So.
No, you're not asking me inappropriate questions. Yeah,
I'm not from Mars. So anyway, I just wanted to ask you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, enjoy the game. I don't think it was a real thing. I think the part of the reason why they didn't have to worry about guarding knocking Hawkinson down is because the ball was generally sailing over his head from Sam Darnold.
And I thought, well, you're doing good with that arm. What are you going to do when it really gets better?
goodness.
I don't heal like that, so
yeah.
I'm older.
I don't think most people do. I think it's world-class medical treatment and rehab around the clock.
Right, like 24 hours a day if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll call you again after the Vikings and the Rams, you said?
Yes, on Monday night.
Okay. Oh, this Monday?
Yes. It's wild card weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, Jane.
Oh,
it's
wow. I'll call you back.
Okay. Enjoy the weekend, the football.
I will. Okay. Thank you.
Mac is listening in Delaware. Mac, welcome to After Hours. What you got?
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year to you. Hey, I just wanted to say, hey, Happy New Year to you. And I want to ask you a question. Why did the Jaguars fire Peterson and not Balky? One of the reasons I think is because Balky really threw Peterson under the bus. Now, I'm going to tell you like this. Peterson was doing his best, but Balky lied to Shot Khan and told him that this was the best Jaguar team of all time. And that was truly not the case. I think that Peterson should have stayed. I think Balky should have got fired. And, you know, I just think that it's just a whole mess with this Jaguar organization. But I tell you one thing. I hope they can find somebody that's decent and not Robert Saleh. And one other last thing I wanted to say is that, you know, hey, you know, I heard all these guys calling truck drivers and all. But you know I'm your favorite truck driver. And you know I always I got your back. I'm here to make you laugh. I'm here to make, you know, just joke with you. But, right. Hey, Amy, you're the greatest. And God bless you. God bless Bob. And God bless Pete. And do me a favor. Let me come over there and take care of that light for you.
You're going to run right over.
I'm going to sit up and listen.
Thank you, Mac. I think the explanation that we got from Shad Khan is that he can't fire everyone. And here's the other thing, and this is coming from Shad before the season. He felt like Trent Baalke put together a really good roster. He didn't believe that the roster was the issue. So if you like the roster that you have, and he told the team before they kicked off this season that he felt like it was the best roster in his entire time as an owner of the Jaguars. And so if he believes in the roster they have and thinks that roster is better than how they perform, which I tend to agree, well, then coaching is where you go next. And he also said he wasn't going to change all 85 employees that are involved behind the scenes, that what he was changing was coaching and starting there and the direction, the discipline. And I would agree. I think the roster is a lot better than what we saw of them on the field, and I'm flummoxed as to why they started out last season 8-3 on the heels of what was a playoff win in 22, and then it just all fell apart. They never got it together again. So that's got to fall on coaching. I don't think Doug Peterson forgot how to coach, but he wasn't getting through to the team, or his message was lost, or maybe his message wasn't effective. So yeah, it's hard to know sometimes, but I think their roster should be able to compete. They lost a lot of close games, one score games, which is part of the issue. At Amy After Hours, also our Facebook page, straight ahead, Ask Amy Anything. And at the top of the hour, we're excited. Charles Davis from the NFL on CBS will join us live. He is working with Ian Eagle, the Chargers and Texans, coming up on Saturday. It actually kicks off the NFL Wild Card Weekend. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Hi, and the Cowboys still not committed to Mike McCarthy, but doesn't mean they want to let him find a new home. Cowboys reportedly denying permission from the Bears to speak with McCarthy, who they still have under contract for the next week. We'll see if that means that McCarthy's going to stay in Dallas for next season. Raiders headed in a new direction. They fired Antonio Pierce after just one full season in charge. Raiders won just four games. Now minority owner Tom Brady said to be involved in the search to find a new head coach. Titans own the top overall pick, but it won't be Rand Carthon making that decision. Tennessee said goodbye to their GM after 2 years, but they're keeping their head coach in Brian Callahan. Ravens getting ready for the rival Steelers. Lamar Jackson trying to put to bed some of the disappointing playoffs in years past, but Jackson has been mostly been able to put those to rest.
Only one I do, to be honest with you, the only one I do think about is the AFC Championship. That's probably the only playoff game I do think about. Like, it was right there, but I'm focused now, though. Like, it is what it is at this point.
Meanwhile, Dolphins GM Chris Greer discussing the Tyreek Hill situation. Hill has not formally requested a trade despite his comments following the season finale.
In a frustrating season, he was very emotional. And I think all of that with him playing through his injury just kind of bubbled to a point. And from our conversations, again, we'll keep that private, but we had productive conversations.
Checking the NBA with the Celtics, too much for the Nuggets, 118-106. Jason Tatum with 29. T-Wolves bounce the Pelicans, 104-97. Anthony Edwards poured in 32. Mavericks route the Lakers, 118-97. Heat punished the Warriors, 114-98. Hornets erase the Suns, 115-104. LaMelo Ball, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Hawks outscored the Jazz, 124-121. Trae Young, 24 points, including a heave from half court at the buzzer to win it. Also handed out 20 assists. And the Rockets overpowered the Wizards, 135-112. College hoops, 8th-ranked Florida punished top-ranked Tennessee, 73-43. Hand the Vols their first loss on the season. Auburn handled Texas, 87-82. Iowa State pounded Utah, 82-59. Duke smothered Pitt, 76-47. Georgia stunned Kentucky, 82-69. And Marquette handled Georgetown, 74-66. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Check out our new and improved website at InfinitySportsNet.com. That's InfinitySportsNet.com.
Thanks for joining us. First hump show of the new year and first chance to ask Amy anything in 2025. Show note really quickly, though, we've got Charles Davis of the NFL and CBS coming up at the top of the hour, and I kind of feel like we'll be able to ask him in his role as an analyst. He has access to insider information. Would it give him an advantage if he were also a minority owner with a team and making personnel decisions? So it'll be interesting to hear his response again, because he's in the same role as Brady, only with CBS. And so he's got Texans and Chargers on Saturday. That'll be the first game of the wild card weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, producer Pete and I working together again this week. And your chance to ask Amy anything, courtesy of Pete, who's fielding the questions.
That's right. On your car trip, do you get more miles per gallon or your husband?
Weirdly enough, my husband does, and I don't know why. I feel like he drives a lot more aggressively than I do, especially when we're talking about Princess Leia up hills and stuff. But for whatever reason, he got better gas mileage, and I pay attention to these things. I don't know why. It's not like I'm competitive, but just watching my car and her gas mileage, and I don't know. It's just something that I do to make sure I'm trying to maximize. He got better gas mileage on this particular trip. We pretty much split the driving. The only time we didn't was when the first 6 hours as we were leaving New Jersey back on December 20th, we were in driving snow for most of the time. And he doesn't have a lot of experience driving in snow. And he's been driving my car for a year, but not every day. You know, he drives his truck more than he drives my car. And so he was not interested in driving in the snow, which I actually like it, so...
Yeah, no, I'll pass on that. Kurt on Facebook asked, should I drive from New Hampshire to Baltimore this Saturday with my two boys, 12 and 13, to watch the Ravens and Steelers game? We like the Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely, you should. You may not have this opportunity again to be able to go, especially if you have access to tickets. I think that's terrific. You should go. Live free or die, baby. Love the Granite State and New Hampshire. And it's really not that far of a drive. I mean, I'm not sure where you are in New Hampshire, Kurt, but you can get there and back in a day. Although if you stay, that's an even better experience for your sons. And you could say hi to my niece who lives a block from the stadium.
Have you ever made and kept a New Year's resolution?
Well, made, yes. I'm trying to decide if I've ever kept a New Year's resolution. Yeah, a few times over the past couple years, I've resolved to continue running half marathons. I'll do that again in 2025. Those resolutions I've kept. Also, every year for a lot of years, my New Year's resolution was to get married. So finally in 2023, that became a New Year's resolution that I was able to keep. So yes, I'll say that the most important ones I've been able to keep.
Who is your favorite athlete of all time?
Larry Bird. I was cutting my teeth on late 80s, early 90s NBA when I was a kid. That's really where I fell in love with sports. Now, I was playing them already as a third grader. I still have a photo of me in my Little League uniform and my hair sticking out from underneath my red hat. I had my shiny white stirrups. I was so proud. So I was playing sports, but I really didn't watch them much until that version of the Celtics with Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Dennis Johnson, Larry Bird, and Danny Ainge, obviously, who I remember when he was traded, I cried. So that was kind of when I first got started, and there wasn't a whole lot I didn't love about Larry Bird and the way he played the game.
Do you recall the first movie you saw at the movie theater?
No. Huh. I do know that when I was really young, far too young to be in a theater watching this movie, my father took us to Poltergeist, and I was scared half to death. I'm not joking. It was not a movie that a child should be going to see. I have no idea why he took us to that movie, but I do know that I could not watch any type of scary movie, suspenseful horror movie, anything like that, until I was well into my 20s. So I don't remember when the movie came out. I just know I was real little, and honestly, I don't remember a whole lot about it. I don't know the details, except for the shower scene, or the bathtub scene. I kind of vaguely remember that, but I do know it scared the crap out of me. And so I was way too little. And yeah, I was traumatized by it.
Homemade sour cream pound cake.
Ooh.
Or homemade cookies?
No, homemade cookies. I like pound cake, but I feel like cookies are they have more variety to them. And they're bite-sized too, right? As opposed to the pound cake. But it sounds delicious. I love sour cream. Sometimes I eat food just so I pick food and pick meals just so I can have sour cream with them.
Have you ever done line dancing at a bar?
Of course. I lived in Oklahoma for 4 years. Absolutely did. I'm not telling you I performed well, but it was a thing. You had to if you lived in Oklahoma.
I'm going to throw in a sports question because we have a lot of sports questions
okay.
this week.
Okay. All right. No questions about Flower?
That they're coming. do you think Aaron Rodgers will go to the Miami Dolphins? And if so, what capacity?
I don't think so. What are they going to do with Tua? They just paid him. Are they planning on trading Tua for an aging and I would say ineffective Aaron Rodgers? And it's not just 1 year now. We have a 2 year sample size of Aaron Rodgers. And the last year that he was with the Green Bay Packers wasn't a great season either. I know he won two MVPs in 2020 and 21, was it? But the last 3 years of him have been rough. So you're really going to pay Tua all that money? Aren't they paying him $53 million a year? And then do what with him? Trade him away so that you can bring in an aging Aaron Rodgers? So no, I'll say no. I'm not sure where he finds a job. Unless he's willing to be a backup QB or the Jets do a massive about face on him, I don't know where he finds a job in 25.
Well, let's break up the sports chat. What's your favorite type of pizza?
Oh, gosh. I love actually hamburg on pizza.
Okay.
So some people call it meatball. Beef on pizza. Not sausage, not pork, but beef and mushrooms. That is my favorite. But I'll do a supreme pizza any time of the day or night. Like right now would be great.
Your favorite sports team?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one, too. So I mentioned the Celtics. I grew up on the Celtics going back to the late 80s. Really, really, really love the Syracuse Orange, of course. But I've been a Broncos fan since I was age 13. And that is a funny story. People ask me all the time, how did that happen when you were growing up in New England? Which I did. Well, because my stepfather was watching a game between the Broncos and the Patriots. It was back when the Patriots were not great. And I remember John Elway and the Broncos were behind by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and he led them on one of those patented fourth quarter comebacks of his, and I was hooked on the excitement. I couldn't have told you what a first down was. I couldn't have told you what an offsides penalty was. I'd never played football. I didn't watch football, but I fell in love with the drama and the adrenaline rush, and that was a match made in heaven. I watched and cheered for the Broncos and had my poor orange heart crushed with their 3 massive Super Bowl losses after that, before they won 2 back-to-back in the late 90s.
How is your new puppy adjusting?
Flower's good. She's so happy. I just can't believe she's the same dog that I met 3 weeks ago who was so timid in the yard of a massive animal shelter in San Marcos, Texas. This dog, she's got such a great personality. And you know what we've realized? She's part Belgian Malinois. They have a ton of energy and they're incredible athletes. So she's part Aussie something or other and part Mal. And she's so sweet, but she's just also really funny. She hops around like a rabbit. Sometimes she's on her back feet hopping around like a kangaroo. Anytime you mention outside or pull the collar out or the leash, she goes berserk. When you go to get her out of the crate, she goes nutso. The tail of hers could wipe out an entire colony. So yeah, she's awesome. She's just yeah, she's got so much appeal and so much to offer after just 3 weeks. We're so thankful that we found her.
Who would you want as your prototypical leadoff hitter? Tony Gwynn or Pete Rose?
Huh. What, can I not go Shohei Ohtani? Or Ricky Henderson?
You could.
Or I'm trying to think who else I would put in there as a prototypical leadoff hitter. Gosh, I don't know that I'd go old school. I never saw Pete Rose play. So I know he was the greatest hitter of all time, blah, blah, blah. People call him that. And I know he was really tough and stuff, but I can't say that. Tony Gwynn was terrific. Any good hitter at the top, but let's go Shohei just for fun. Or Ricky Henderson just for fun.
Do you have any specific wishes?
Wishes? Like I have a genie?
Let's go with that angle, yes.
How about a job that allows me to get off of working overnights sometime in the near future? I'm definitely ready to make a change to my schedule. After 12 years of overnights, not this isn't anything the company doesn't know, by the way, I'm not telling you a big secret. After 12 years of working overnights, late nights and early mornings, I am ready for something different. How about that? So I guess it would be a prayer, it would be the desire of my heart, it would be a goal. Again, not a secret to the company, so I'm not telling you anything that the company doesn't already know. But yeah, how about that? Does that suffice? Could that also be a wish?
I think that works. That's perfect.
Now, if only I had a genie, and if only genies were real. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's good to hear from so many of you. I will go back and do my best to be able to answer some of the questions that you posted that did not get asked here on the show, but just a few of these left in the football season, which is kind of fun. And no, I have no idea who's going to make it to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Charles Davis from the NFL and CBS is next here on After Hours.